All right. During this time of year, around the September-October period of time, the people of the Jewish faith step into a festival called Rosh Hashanah. This festival was something that God called the people into back early on in Scripture, and it was a 10-day celebration that preceded the Day of Atonement, which came on the 10th day of this celebration. And this particular celebration, this festival, was designed to do a couple of things. One, it was designed to celebrate the provision of God. We here, because of the harvest time, because of this time, we even know that this time of year, these harvest festivals we have, these Thanksgiving times we have, are a result of the pilgrims coming to this country, and those first 53 of them celebrating that first year because they had enough to eat. It was awesome. And this festival that God created early on in Scripture called His people out to celebrate the provision that He had brought to them as the year had unfolded. This was also a time in the Jewish history where people would celebrate and look forward to and ask God for provision in the year to come. They would look ahead and say, God, it is in You who we trust, and it is You who will provide for us. So we come before You and say, God, we have need this coming year. We ask You to provide for us. These 10 days were also, in addition to those two things, a somber time of taking some time to repent, to reflect, to think about the places we missed the mark this last year. And they would prepare for the 10 days, a time of confession, repentance, saying to God, God, where we've missed the mark, we're so sorry. And on the Day of Atonement, at the end of this festival, they would come and atone for the things that they'd missed the mark on. And as we come together here today at this thing we call Harvest Festival that we do at Mosaic Church every year, it is an awesome time for me, I just got to tell you guys. I know this will be sort of hard for you to fully capture, but me standing on this stage, looking out at you guys, it is a time of deep celebration for me. My wife and I, we moved to the Claremont area a little over 8 years ago, and we had a dream in our heads that God had planted there so deeply that He called us to give up what we had out there and come. And He said to us, listen, let's start something, a story that will emerge where you call people into community and this thing called church, and you call them out to a radical obedience in their homes, in their families, in their communities, and in the world. Let's see what happens when a group of people come together and have an opportunity to explore the things of God in a safe environment. And as they explore, they're called out to a radical obedience in their lives. Called to spend themselves, give themselves away, invest in the stories that God has. Let's see what happens. And I'm telling you, when I stand on this stage today and I look around here, and 7 years after that dream emerged in a little clubhouse in the Legends with a few people that we met at the swimming pool, and said, we have a dream, you should come listen to it. Sitting here today, you just go, wow, God, is this the beginning of what You're doing? And it's awesome. And I have much to celebrate because I stand here and go, if this group of people sitting in front of me today capture in their minds what kind of a radical, incredible obedience Christ calls us to and lives that out, this world will never, ever, 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 ever be the same. I have no doubt about that. Moody once said, you give me 10 men that love only God and hate only sin, and I will turn the world upside down with those 10 men. Here we have hundreds of people. And if just some of you captured the incredible call of God on your lives, in your homes, in your communities, and in the world, we will change everything for the sake of the kingdom of God. That is worth celebrating, and that's exciting. I also stand here today, And it's exciting to me because I live in a marriage where for the last 15 years, Brooke and I have invested ourselves in the wisdom and the things of God. We haven't always done it perfectly. We haven't always nailed it every day. But for the most part, we follow Jesus in our marriage. And I have an incredible marriage, an incredible wife, and an incredible time with her. And I look ahead over the next 30 years and 40 years, 50 years, and I go, man, we're going to change the world. It's awesome. And I have these four beautiful children who love Jesus and are living their lives recognizing what it means to follow Christ even though they're 10 and under. And I'm watching them and going, God, these are going to be world changers for You. And that's exciting. And I have these two young girls who live in Ethiopia right now that we are fighting and battling to try and bring home to us. And it's difficult and it's challenging and it's impossible. And we can't figure out what on earth is going on. And we stand in the midst of celebration and we say to God, God, we ask you to provide for this next year in ways that we can see that story happen. And so we sit always looking back and looking forward, celebrating what God has done and asking God to bring about what he's going to do this year. See, it was Jesus who said to us, I have come to give you life and to give it to you in abundance, right? And we've heard that before, haven't we? And we've gone, yes, that's awesome. As a matter of fact, in Jewish tradition, before the time of Christ, there was a saying among the Jewish rabbis that would say, where the Messiah is, there is no misery. Isn't that cool? Where the Messiah is, there is no misery. Christ has come to give us life and give it to us abundantly. And we live here, and as we celebrate that abundant life and we celebrate the fact that because Christ is involved in our lives, we get to live with a relative freedom that is unbelievable. There is something unique that we have to capture today, something that rests deeply on my heart that is challenging me and calling me out, because I recognize that in that kind of thinking, though it is true and it is real, there is a flaw sometimes because of the culture we live in. See, we hear these words, abundant life, and immediately we begin to pray, God, provide for us this year an abundant life, right? And give us all that we need to live in that abundance. And we translate God's blessing in that abundance. And we hear those words, where the Messiah is, there is no misery. And we go, yes, that's the way the world should be. And we agree, and it's true. But then we step into the world of Jesus Christ, and suddenly he walks into our lives, and he begins to define life for us in a way that we've never heard it before. See, when we define life, abundant life, according to our culture, we define it by this thing we call the American dream, right? I mean, we all know that. It is having enough to be comfortable, to do a little good in the world, to make some change, and to live a life that you have what you need and a little bit more. I mean, all of us need a good vacation and need some luxuries in our life, and that's the way it should be. And if we have more than that, fantastic. Jesus walks into that equation, and he says to us these words. If you save your life, try and save it, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. He makes statements like that. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus is talking to people that want to follow him. And these three different stories happen where these people come and say, I want to follow you, Jesus. I just need to go and get my house in order. And he says, stop, follow me at all costs, let it all go. One says, I just want to go and bury my father. No, let the dead bury themselves. Follow me now. The Jesus we bump into in Scripture, the frightening reality of the gospel he preaches is that he does call us to give everything we have away. He does. There's no way around that. He does tell us, I will provide abundantly for you so that you can provide abundantly for the stories that I'm calling to you in this planet. Our provision, our abundant life, our extraordinary world Jesus is calling us into is one where we beg him to provide for us so that we can spend all of it on the kingdom of God to provide for others. Once Jesus came to this planet, the way we ought to change that saying, where the Messiah is, there is no misery, should look more like this. Wherever misery is, there is the Messiah. We, the church, are called to go into that world, into this world, in this community, and wherever misery exists, we ought to be there. We ought to be the hands and feet showing up in those places and saying, the Messiah is here because he came to a planet of misery to give his life for us so that we now have abundant life. He provides resources, time, energy, and knowledge to us so that we can pour it into you. And wherever misery is, we will be there. God calls out to this thing called the church and he says to us, guys, you are plan A. I'm sending you out into the world to change it forever. And I'm calling out to you to give all that you have for the kingdom of God in your homes, in your workplaces, in your social networks, in your local communities, and in your global communities. And there is no plan B for this gospel to go out. There is no plan B. The plan is us. You. We're it. It's scary, isn't it? Like this is it? This is your plan, God? We are flawed human beings who are selfish and want everything for ourselves, and this is your plan? And God's grace and mercy is, yes, this is my plan. Brooke and I dreamed of a place where we could call people into a radical obedience, where we could live out in community together that radical obedience and say to ourselves, we exist for the kingdom of God. Whenever we have the option to walk into something that will advance our kingdom and advance our abundance, we will walk out of that for the sake of advancing the kingdom of God and advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we think that matters, because when we look around here, many of you here today, many of you, your marriages, your lives, your parenting, your experience on this planet has changed because you have come in contact with the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are living in an abundance beyond your wildest imagination, even though perhaps you're losing your house, your job, and everything else simultaneously. And we are called, folks, to an abundant life where the stories that God has given to us are a call on our lives to say, step out and spend yourselves on these stories. My wife and I have a passion to collect as many stories on this planet as possible for the sake of God's kingdom and to drag as many people with us as possible into those stories to give themselves away to. Because we happen to believe that the more we spend ourselves for the sake of the kingdom of God, the more abundantly we will experience life. A life spent for the sake of Christ is a life abundantly lived. And a life spent for the American dream is a life lost in so many ways. You have no idea. And so we have to stand and look at our lives. And the call today is not for you to go, to take all that you have, to sell it, and to go out into some poor area and spend yourself. Though, for some of us, God will call us into that. But I tell you this, and I want you to hear this carefully. When we celebrate today the provision of God in our lives, and we celebrate what God is doing, His call on us is that we are always to be willing to do exactly that. Not just hypothetically. Willing to say, God, if you should call me to give it all away right now and go and do something crazy for you, I am ready. And if there's any part of us that says, maybe I'm not, then we need to continue to pursue the wonder and beauty of Christ and say, God, make me ready. I'll be honest with you. I am not ready. I'm not. I stand before you today and say, yeah, it sounds great, doesn't it? Give it all away, go. I'll give some of it away. Oh, yeah. But all of it? Are you kidding me? And so I have to wrestle in my heart. God, am I really ready to take my family and to say, here we go. Let's set it aside. You have provided abundantly for us. We will provide abundantly for others. And church, hear me. As we celebrate the beauty and wonder of God's abundance, let us never get caught up in the world that says, we thank God for it. We ask God for greater success this next year so that we can better experience the comforts of life. Mother Teresa once said, I do not pray for success. I pray for faithfulness. Isn't that incredible? I do not pray for success. I pray for faithfulness. What would life be like if we said, God, bring whatever success you deem necessary next year for me to be faithful to the call that you've called me to? I'm ready. Show me what I am to do. As we walked into this community 8 years ago, we thought to ourselves, what would it be like to take a place, a group of people, and start calling them into community as a Christian community to say, we will spend ourselves for the sake of Jesus Christ and for the sake of His kingdom. And then we started thinking, Brooke and I were like, you know what? How on earth do we do that in the means that allows us to step out into the secular community and call them into the same thing, into the same missional living, even though they don't yet understand the beauty of following Jesus? And so we're constantly thinking stuff up. trying to ask ourselves, what does it look like in our own lives and in the lives of the people God gives us influence over to call us all into a life where every time God provides, the first question of our lips are, God, you've provided. What do you want me to do with this for the sake of your kingdom? Not just finances. I'm talking everything. Talent, time, treasure, what you know, how you live. The influence you've been given, all of it's been handed to you. Your workplace, your home life, your social networks, they're handed to you by God for you to live out a radical obedience and to be someone that changes the world for Christ. This is the call we face in Scripture. So today, as we stand here, you've just listened to a song where Josh sat back and said, don't worry about the pieces of paper, they're just flying around. Josh wrote this song that says, I, for one, will not be someone that willingly sits by and does nothing. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to do this. So today I ask you guys, all of you, I ask you with me, with my wife, together, let us look ahead to this next year as God provides for us the resources to expand our facilities and build things so that more people can come together and more people can be called into a radical obedience. That's awesome. But that is not what this is about. That should just be a stepping stone of provision into giving ourselves away more. And as God provides for each one of you and calls you into whatever life you're in, ask God what it is you have that you can give away for the sake of the kingdom of God. Let us be a church that prays this year, God, provide for us so that we can provide for whomever you call us to provide for. That's where we should live. And when we live there, the provision we celebrate will be celebrated better and bigger than any time in our lives. Because when you celebrate the provision of God so you could provide for others, it is truly a celebration. You know what today is? Today is actually Orphan Sunday. Can you believe that? Orphan Sunday on Harvest Festival. It's not just our Orphan Sunday. This is the Sunday that we talk about orphans around the world. And isn't it ironic that we stand here today on a day where we celebrate the provision God's given us, and at exactly the same moment laid before us is this word, orphan. And God says, you know what? There are millions of people, children, who have nothing. And you know what he says in Scripture in James? Church, the kind of religion God calls powerful, wonderful, amazing is this kind of religion. You ready? The kind of religion that takes care of the widows, takes care of the orphans, takes care of the poor and the destitute, and stays free from being polluted by the philosophies of the world. When we live a radical obedience and follow Jesus in our homes, in our workplaces, in our social networks, in our local and global communities, and we take care of those who are in need, we are living out the gospel every day. And this is what we're called to. So I would ask every one of you to dig deeply into your soul and say, Jesus, I follow you. I know you. Show me where it is I am to provide for the needs of others for the sake of your kingdom this year as you abundantly provide for me so that I can abundantly provide for others. And as a church, we will ask the same question on your behalf. Where this year are we called as a community to provide for the needs of others because God has abundantly provided for us? And if we live this out, folks, I promise you, 5 years from now, we will be right back here celebrating on a harvest festival, but celebrating the wonder and beauty of God's provision for us and the wonder and beauty of the thousands of stories we were able to buy into with that provision. Today we're going to bring before you some tangible, real ways that you can step into caring for the very people God called us to care for. Orphans, widows, and the poor. We're going to bring before you some stories that you can say, I want in on that one. And you're going to be able to get in if you want. We're going to bring before you opportunities here tangibly. But those opportunities are just small, teeny tiny things we have here. As you leave this place, your neighbors, your friends, your communities need you. They need you because you carry in your heart the gospel. We serve a master who demands radical obedience from us because he cares deeply about a world that is lost, and he wants us to be salt and light to that world. We are the plan. May we live out that plan in radical beauty as we give ourselves away for the sake of the gospel. It's a little odd, isn't it? To be at a harvest festival celebrating God's provision and hear your pastor say, "Give it all away!" I know, I'm sorry. But the reality is, abundant life waits for us around the corner of spending all that we have for the sake of the gospel. I dare you, I dare me to find more of ourselves to give away for the sake of the gospel. And let us pray this year these words. God, we don't pray for success, we pray for faithfulness. And whatever success you bring us, we will utilize that success faithfully for the expansion of your kingdom, your love, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have much to celebrate. Let's celebrate it by spending it for the sake of our Master and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Lord God, as I stand here before this amazing group of men and women and children, as I recognize the extraordinary provision that you have given us over the last 7 years of bringing us all together into this community, not one of us here by accident, not one of us here without purpose and meaning in the world you are unfolding. God, in your sovereign, powerful, beautiful hand, you have brought us together as a community and called us into a radical obedience. And I thank you deeply for the people that sit before me today. I thank you for this community that I call home, that is my family, my church, just as much as it is theirs. And I am overwhelmed and grateful by what you have provided for us, God. Sitting in our midst here, every talent, every dime, every piece of knowledge, every ability, everything we need to fulfill the call that you have called us to fulfill is sitting here in this place already. Because you will never call us into something that you have not adequately prepared us for. So God, I ask you that if we are held back from the vision and the call of changing the world for your sake and expanding your kingdom to the ends of the earth and bringing men and women and children into the beauty of relationship with you and discipling them into following you and spending their lives for your sake so that they can find freedom and abundance. God, if anything is holding us back from that because we are simply not willing to give ourselves to it, I ask you this year as we look ahead, provide for us above all else faithfulness, radical obedience, that we would live out our lives as husbands, as wives, as parents, as children, as community members of this church, as community members of our local community, and as human beings part of a huge globe that needs you. God, help us to live our lives in a manner that spends ourselves for whatever the call is you've given us. So we ask you this day, provide for us all that we need. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom should come, God. Let us be those who walk out your kingdom on this planet. Your will be done, God. May we be an army of people that do your will daily in the face of our enemy. God, give us today only what we need and allow us, whatever you give us above that, to be willing to spend it for your kingdom. Lord God, help us to forgive those who have come against us, just as you've forgiven us, and help us, God, not to walk into temptation, but deliver us from the evil that holds us back. God, all of this is for your kingdom and your power and your glory. I thank you, God, that we are your plan, that you have called us to carry the beauty of your gospel to the world, that you've made us salt and light. May we live out our call in a manner that demonstrates our commitment, faithfulness, and love for you. You've said it, God. Help us to care for the widows, for the orphans, for the poor, and help us not to be polluted by the philosophies of this world, but to be captivated by the philosophies of your word and the truth that you have called us into. You are our God, and we are your people, and we love you, Jesus. Amen.